This is PhotoBizX episode number 317, and today we're talking with a wedding photographer who made the move to corporate headshot and event photography, and as a result, has a much more profitable and successful business. I'm talking about Gustavo Fernandez, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. Should be a fun interview today, particularly if you are shooting in a genre of photography that isn't producing the kind of results that you were hoping it would or could, because that's exactly the position Gustavo found himself in. After making the transition to corporate and event photography, things have totally turned around. I think you're going to really enjoy this interview and what Gustavo shares, and I know you'll be able to apply what he shares to your business no matter what genre you shoot. As far as me and my week or my weekend is concerned, I was the guest with my lovely wife, Linda, at a wedding on the weekend, and I was not the photographer. I honestly cannot remember the last time that happened, and it was fantastic. It was two great girlfriends of ours, Danielle and Laura, who tied the knot in Sydney on what had to be the coldest Saturday I have ever experienced. The wind was bitingly cold, but the light was just fantastic. They were in Centennial Park in Sydney. The light was filtering through these beautiful big trees. They were backlit. It was, yeah, it looked amazing. I could see that the photographers were really enjoying the light and capturing what they were able to. It was a no phones or no photography wedding, so we were asked not to take any photos at all during the ceremony. And it was interesting hearing that as a photographer and being told we couldn't take photos, but it was really nice to see everyone just engaged in the moment, in the ceremony, and just enjoying what they were seeing. But I did notice quite a few people sneaking out their phones, me included, to take a few photos. But it was very discreet, and it was nothing like I'd experienced at other weddings. It was also fun having a look at the other photographers. There were two stills photographers, one videographer. They were certainly dressed warmer than most guests, which was lucky for them. But it was fun, you know, watching them work and do their thing. And I don't know if other guests appreciate just how hard photographers work to get the shot, you know. I mean, it's full on, isn't it? If you're listening, if you've shot a wedding, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, we work hard, don't we? And we work hard to get the photos, to tell a story, to capture those moments, and to do it in a way that looks amazing, that has our artistic flair, and also captures the emotions of the couples. But it was nice. It was relaxing to be able to sit there and watch these guys work and enjoy the wedding and the ceremony and all the things that go with it. And it's funny too how every wedding, every event has its own little peculiarities. In this case, and in my experience, most of the time after the wedding or the wedding ceremony, guests will hang around and there'll be a lot of chit-chat, and you sort of have to get ushered off to go to the reception or for a drink between the ceremony and the reception. But in this case, it was so cold, people dispersed pretty quickly, which was really lucky for the bride and particularly the photographers, because they got to shoot in the most amazing light. When I know that if this was my wedding and it was a little bit warmer, the guests would be hanging around and I'd have to drag the couple away to make the most of the beautiful light. So Laura and Danielle didn't have that. I'm sure they're going to have some incredible photos as a result. One of the things I did notice at the reception when these guys were still shooting was just how many photos, how many frames they were taking. I was blown away. And I don't know if I'm out of the loop or if I take a different approach to most photographers. I don't know if you shoot the same way, but these guys were shooting, it wasn't in motor drive, but they were taking 3 and 4 frames for every single frame that needed to be taken, as far as I saw it anyway. They'd lift their camera to their eye, they'd compose the shot, and they'd take 3 or 4 frames every time. And then they'd look at the back of the camera and then take another 3 or 4. And I was thinking, there is no way I would want to be culling the files from this wedding. So I don't know if they outsourced that or who does the culling, but between the two stills photographers, there would have to be a minimum of 4,000 frames. I would estimate closer to 8,000 with the way they were shooting. I was blown away. I don't know if you take the same approach when you're shooting. I certainly don't. It's a totally different approach to me in the way I shoot. But again, it was interesting to watch that. And it was nice. It was nice knowing that I didn't have to cull those images. And to be fair, I don't do the culling anyway. So in our business, Linda or Tania will do the first cull after a wedding. And then whoever didn't do the first cull does the second cull. And that works well for us. It also makes editing and album designing a lot easier in our business because I'm not the one getting caught up and doing the culling as an emotionally invested photographer. And I know the idea of having someone else do your culling could possibly scare you. And it did me in the beginning. I really struggled with it because I wanted to make sure that images that I thought should stay inside the portfolio weren't getting deleted. But yeah, it came to a point where I thought, Linda and Tennille, they know my vision. They also understand what the client wants and what we should be delivering. So now it's just left in their hands and that works for us. I don't know if you can hear that noise in the background at all, but it is absolutely teeming down outside. It is pouring. The gutters are overflowing. There's rain. Man, it's just absolutely bucketing down. So yeah, I'm gonna push on. Hopefully that noise isn't too distracting. And just quickly, on the topic of culling and being emotionally invested in your photography, which you should be, absolutely. I'm not saying you shouldn't be invested. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't be emotionally invested. I mean, there's no way not to be. But I was having a chat with a mastermind group member of mine last week, and he was complaining about the lack of time to get things done and getting caught up doing jobs that he feels should, take 1 or 2 hours, and they go on to take 3 or 4 hours. And it turns out, once we did a bit of diving into the situation, that when he was going through his cull or during his culling process, he would see images that caught his attention and he would be drawn out of Lightroom or Photo Mechanic and go on to work on that image and spice it up, spruce it up, give it his finishing touches, give it his artistic flair. Before he knew it, hours had gone by when he was meant to be doing a simple cull and maybe a second cull afterwards to get the files ready. It turns out that he was wasting hours, literally hours, by getting caught up with the images during that culling process. My advice to him and as the group, we suggested that he 100% focuses on the culling process only. Feel free to tag the images that he wants to work on and play with later on. And I say play with in air quotes. Do that creative artistic work instead of watching TV at night. Don't do it when you're meant to be doing something else in the business. Leave that for the fun, free time. Or the time that you put aside for that later on in the evening. When it is being artistic and creative and having a play around and experimenting, that's the time to be doing that kind of thing with your photos, particularly if you have a full workload and you need to be getting other stuff done. And usually that other stuff is generating leads. It's working on your marketing. It's getting marketing and advertising processes in place so that you can avoid those dips, those peaks and troughs with your lead generation to help you have a more stable business. And that's exactly what we talked about in last week's episode with Mark Rossetto.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
If you missed last week's episode with Mark Rossetto, the photography business coach based in Queensland, Australia, you absolutely need to get back and have a listen to that one. It was a mind-blowing episode. These are the words of other PhotoBizX members. Mark took us through how to create and put together a 12-month marketing plan for your photography business. And we started with the months, worked down into weeks, and finally into the days, so that you had a plan on exactly what you should be doing day to day for your marketing. It really was an eye-opener for a lot of listeners. If you haven't heard that episode, or if you don't have a marketing plan, you absolutely need to get back and have a listen to that interview with Mark Rossetto. It will open your eyes and show you a way to have a more stable business where leads are consistently coming in throughout the year. And then really, that's the only way to run a profitable photography business where you aren't stressing one week, living on a high the next, and then down in the dumps the week after again because things have dried up, or the month after. Have a listen. It will change the way you do your marketing.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Gustavo Fernandez in just a second. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean that you are listening to the free podcast episode. And that means you won't be hearing the full episode today with Gustavo because I save the second half of every interview for premium members only. But the good news is, if you want to hear more from Gustavo today, you can do that for as little as $1 with a $1 trial membership, which will last you 30 days. It'll give you a great chance to hear the full interview with Gustavo. You can access the full back catalogue. I'll send you an invite to the members' Facebook group, and you can discover exactly what the PhotoBizX premium membership is all about. You can do that over at photobizx.com/try. You'll find the $1 sign up there. And just before we jump into this interview, if you are hearing this episode as it goes live, there's a special price on the premium membership for this week only. It finishes on June 30, 2019. You can get a 12-month membership for 40% off or 50% off the monthly membership. So for $120, which is only $10 per month, you get full access to every single interview. You get to be part of that members' Facebook group. I'll help you get started in your very own mastermind group. And it really is one of the best investments, possibly the best investment you'll ever make for your photography business. But don't take my word for it. I recently asked Kate Thomas how she's going with her membership, if she's been able to implement anything since becoming a member. And here's what she emailed me. She says, here's my list of things I've received through my membership. I've used Nick Peel's strategy with much success and still do now. She's talking about his online sales strategy. I've used the promo code for Mark Rosetto's Master Your Marketing course. Loving the course so far. So members save $200 on that course. She purchased the Facebook ads course through PhotoBizX and implemented it with success. She said there's fantastic step-by-step instructions for idiots like me. Kate said she's also joined a fantastic mastermind group. That idea came from the instruction through the membership. She says it's brilliant, supportive, and fun. She says that she's had marriage support, but she's laughing. That's a joke because she's just gone on to the 40% off premium membership, so her husband doesn't see the monthly payments. Kate also goes on to say that she takes at least two things from every interview, and she either implements these or they become wish list items that she'd like to implement. There's just too many to list. And she's also using Loom videos, which you heard about on the podcast, and she's had great feedback from clients who have received these Loom video replies from her. So she uses these instead of emails. She also makes a little slideshow through Canva to emphasize the important points. Yeah, this is very, very cool. And this is all part of becoming a premium member over the last few months. Kate finishes off with saying, it's an amazing subscription. I don't have many, but this is one of my absolute favorites. She says, I've missed so many things that I've implemented, but these are my big takeaways. Cheers, Kate. So yeah, there's never been a better time to grab a membership. If you want to make use of the 12-month special, head over to photobizx.com/June special and save 40% on that premium membership.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is a headshot and event photographer based in San Francisco. He was one of the top sales reps in the country in his previous pharmaceutical sales job. He was born and raised in the Dominican Republic and has lived in Italy, Spain, and now the US. And he's had his work displayed in Times Square. He's spoken at WPPI, the largest photography conference in the US, and recently had the chance to photograph Bill Gates. But none of this is why I contacted him for this interview. I received an email introduction from a previous podcast guest, Vincent Puglisi, who said this, Andrew, I want you to meet Gustavo Fernandez. Gustavo is based out of San Francisco, and he has an incredible photography business shooting corporate events and corporate headshots. He's a true innovator in the field in that he barely uses any social media. He is a master connector, a giver, and someone who does business the right way. In our group, we have given him the nickname Giftavo because of the thoughtful and creative ways he gives gifts to his clients and others. That was enough for me, and here we are now. I have Gustavo on the line. Gustavo, welcome, mate.
Well, thank you for that amazing introduction. Thanks for having me, and looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, well, I could not get in touch with you after that email from Vincent. It was just glowing. And I guess the first thing I'd love to know, and I'm sure the listener would too, that might not be familiar, is when we talk about event photography in your world, what is it?
Sure. I'll give you a little bit of background to start off. I mean, I started a little bit over 10 years ago now. I remember that I was in corporate, you know, pharmaceutical sales for Johnson & Johnson, and I was looking to kind of transfer over to do something on my own, and photography was just a hobby. And that first issue of that Photographer, American Photographer, I forget the issue of the magazine that stated that top 10 wedding photographers in the world, it came out and I looked at it and I saw that Bambi Cantrell was listed as living down the street from me. And I'm like, oh, who's this amazing photographer that's just close by? So I actually signed up for her workshop, which was a couple of months later. And lo and behold, it was with some other guy named Jerry Guiones. And I'm like, oh, I wonder who this character is. And assisting at the workshop. And funny enough, Jim Gardner from Seattle was also helping out too. So that's basically what started my career. I ended up becoming a second shooter for Bambi and traveling with her and helping her out at WPPI and just getting some amazing experience. So I started in the wedding world for many years. And then what happened was I transitioned into more event photography work because a lot of my venues started recommending me. And they were recommending me because, you know, they looked at me as a professional. They looked at me as somebody that would get the work done, could communicate well with the clients, and they would just, you know, one other vendor that the client didn't have to deal with. They can just like, you know, just hire me and everything else is taken care of. So that's kind of how it all started. And to answer your initial question is, what does event photography mean? Because I guess, you know, weddings can be considered also an event photography because it is an event. So for me, I've niched down into corporate event photography, which means, you know, not conferences per se, but kind of smaller summits and executive level conferences. So for example, I photographed the JP Morgan Healthcare Conference. It top executives from around the world fly into San Francisco to listen to, you know, the latest updates in healthcare. To venture capital firm Battery Ventures has their CIO summits, their CEO summits, they have their CMO summits. Or Forbes magazine, for example, has the same thing, the CEO, CIO, CMO type summits. So more intimate, not these, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 Salesforce type big conferences. So I've niched down into those events where I'm actually coming in, wearing a suit, people there are CEOs, people there are, you know, the decision makers. So you need to have a certain level of professionalism and product to make sure that you're delivering. But at the same time, I do some smaller events like your typical alumni reception meeting for a local college or a college, for example, like, you know, Loomis Chaffey School. Actually, it's a prep school in Hartford, Connecticut. Recently, I did one of their events. This is the fourth year I photographed their event. It's just a simple 3-hour evening reception. So I go from simple, small 3-hour like evening reception to a full day marketing education for the top executives in the company. You know, for HPE recently that I did that, Anaheim, California. So hopefully that answers a little bit of your question there.
It does. So let me follow that up with, you know, when you're photographing these corporate events with these CEOs and, you know, the big wigs of the company, are you just focusing on the speaker or are you the after party as well? Are you photographing the attendees? Like, do you have a strict shoot list that you have to stick to and adhere to?
Great question. I mean, it's everything you said. It all depends on the event. But for example, I'll talk about the HPE event, which is Hewlett Packard Enterprises. They flew, you know, about 200 to 300 executives to Anaheim for, you know, their annual meeting. And it's a lot of shooting the executives on stage and then mainly people, you know, watching the stage. But then during the breaks, I'm shooting the breaks, shooting candids. And then during the evening receptions, I'm shooting kind of just candidates or group shots or people enjoying the event. And this one was a unique event because they also hired me to shoot headshots of the executives. So I did about 189 headshots, you know, throughout the week during the whole event. I was capturing the stage and capturing all the candidates in between. So yeah, a little bit of everything.
Okay. So who's actually hiring you then? Is it HPE? And then what are they telling you or what are they doing with the images after you supply them?
Sure. Good question. So for example, like JP Morgan, the person who hires me is the director of events. HPE, the person who actually hires me is the head of the production company. So I get jobs several different ways. One is directly from the company. And most of the time when I'm connected directly to the company, it's because a venue has referred me. I get hired by production companies through networking, you know, with local production companies or DMCs, which are destination management companies. They're basically known as corporate event planners. And third, a lot of times it's the executive or the CEO's admin. So the admin for that executive will reach out and hire me. So it's different depending on the client. It's different people will hire me.
Okay, great. Awesome. I've got so many questions I want to ask you because looking at your website and even after reading Vincent's initial email to me, I can see you, you know, you're not massive on social media. So I'm keen to find out how you get these actual jobs. I'm guessing networking has a big part to do with that. But before we get there, so these shoots that you do, are you supplying, you know, hundreds of retouched, fully finished images? And what are they being used for?
So basically I'm supplying, you know, depending on how long the event is, you know, a certain amount of images. Retouching for me, my number one goal is to get it right in camera. So first step is getting it shot correctly in camera, making sure that my white balance is all set, making sure that most of my settings are, you know, 95% there. When I import my images into Lightroom, I'm basically, you know, tweaking maybe the brightness. 99% of the time, it's just mainly the brightness and maybe the color balance to kind of adjust that a little bit and synchronizing everything. But that's it. And I'll export that out. And that's what gets delivered to the client. So I try to get it in camera and then very simple edit and export to the client. What are they doing? So for example, with the images, for example, JP Morgan will use the images in social media. So we'll have a setup where I'm getting the images to them immediately and they're pushing out to their different channels, either to Instagram or to Twitter or to any articles that are being published out. They're pushing them out to press. Other than that, it's mostly used for internal purposes. So yeah, depending on the job, for example, like HPE, that's mostly internal purposes for the team to kind of see what was done the previous year. And some of the executives use it for press for themselves. So that'll get pushed out depending on the executive that was speaking on stage. That'll get used on their own LinkedIn, for example, or their own social media.
Right. Okay. So are you then supplying multiple image formats and different sizes so they can use them wherever and however they want as easily as possible?
You know, that's a great point. They've never really requested that. I just usually give them the full size exported JPEG and they just, you know, resize as they need.
Okay. So it's pretty simple for you in that regard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Okay. And then, I mean, you've had images, like I said in the intro, like displayed in Times Square. I imagine some of your images get used quite large. Do they come back to you then? Or does the, you know, the design company come back to you and say, hey, Gustavo, we need these as a larger TIFF file, for example?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that because, you know, to clarify on the intro, these images on Times Square, NASDAQ is actually, I'm on the preferred vendor list for NASDAQ in San Francisco. They have what they call the NASDAQ Entrepreneurial Center. And what they do, they just do a lot of educational events there. And they also have basically like an incubator where every 6 months they have a group of startups come through. And I forget how many they are. I think there's about 15 for every group. And I do their headshots every year or a couple times a year, depending on the cohort. So that headshot ends up on Times Square at 7-story high, not a billboard. It's sort of a projection. I guess it's a huge TV. And I shoot most of my work at medium raw on Canon 5D Mark III. And I never shoot full raw. I think it's just a waste of memory, a waste of pixels, and there's no need for anything bigger than that. But once in a while, I'll flip it to full raw, but most of those photos are just medium raw, exported to 300 DPI, and nobody's ever emailed me back to get a bigger file. And as you can see, it's a 7-story tall building that looks perfectly fine.
I'm sure that blows some people's minds, you know, that you can shoot medium raw, supply a JPEG file, and there it is on a 7-story billboard or 7-story projected screen.
Yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah. So do you change your pricing, your rates, depending on how the images are going to be used? Or is it just a flat rate and a flat pricing for all your clients?
It's typically, it's a flat pricing, a per hour pricing. And I was having that conversation recently with Lou Lesko, who's the owner of BlinkBid. And BlinkBid is what a lot of commercial photographers use for quoting their large jobs and quoting usage and whatnot. And what I told him was, there's a lack in the market of education around usage. I'm part of a Facebook group that has a lot of commercial photographers in it. And every person, you know, somebody will ask a question about usage and everybody has their own individual answer because of, you know, their own way that they were educated. So At this time, I rarely do charge an additional usage if it's going to go somewhere like that. NASDAQ is a unique client. Why? Because I have so much recurring business from them that, you know, I want to make sure that they're taken care of and I'm not nickel and diming them for random things like, you know, oh, my photo is going to be on Times Square. You owe me X amount of money. So at this time, no, I don't necessarily charge usage. Most of my work, it's, pretty rare that I do. I can't think of an example right now. You know, most of my work is repeat business. So for me, it's like I'm taking great care of the client. They know I'm delivering a great product. They're going to call me again. I'm happy that that photo is going to be on Times Square. It's going to help my business in the future. So I don't need to nickel and dime them for that.
Sure. Do you retain copyright and then give them unlimited usage rights? Is that how it works in your business?
Yeah, pretty much. For event photography, you know, what are they going to do with those photos? They're not going to end up, you know, most of the time, like I said, it's probably internal use only. They're going to put it in some newsletters. They're going to put it on their website. You know, they're not going to use some random, you know, corporate event photo to, you know, sell anything. So I'm not too concerned about that. With the headshots, you know, you do have to educate them a little bit more on like how they can use them. For me, it's like, hey, it's word of mouth. They're going to talk about the experience that they had with me and they're going to refer me. So that's, you know, my goal is making sure they have a great experience versus, you know, pulling more money out of them.
Absolutely. What about your usage of the images afterwards? Like I mentioned again in the intro that you photographed Bill Gates recently. Can you use his photo that you took, you know, on your social media profiles?
Yeah. You know, with typical contracts, I of course retain copyright. And what I do is just, I want to make sure that I educate the client. You know, that's one of the things that happens a lot with people. It's they get mad because the client, you know, won't let them use the image or whatnot. And I think, you know, 99% of the issues that arise with clients is it's a lack of education. If you haven't educated the client well enough, you're always going to come up with some certain type of issue. So the Bill Gates photo, yeah, I can use it. And I also, yes, they know that I own the copyright, but I also like to say, I also like to ask permission. So it's like, hey, do you mind if I put this on my website? Because I don't want to surprise the client either. You know, just in case the client didn't remember what copyright's all about or how photography works. Because a lot of times, you know, the admin for the executive is not necessarily well-versed versus the head of marketing for, you know, HPE is definitely well-versed in usage. So for me, it's just making sure that I'm checking in with the client, letting them know what's going on and what I'm using the images for. And it's also an additional touch point. You know, it's also an additional perfect excuse to call the client and check in and say hello and how are you doing and anything else coming up that I can help you guys with and then have that conversation.
I like that. That's a great reason to get back in touch. If I'm an event organizer, I could be a PA to a CEO and I'm looking to book a photographer and I get your name. Do I speak to you when I call Gustavo Fernandez Photography or do I get a PA of yours or someone else?
You speak to me directly. You know, that's a great point you mentioned. And it's actually something I talk a lot about is picking up the phone. You know, customer service is a lost art in my world or in the photography world, definitely. And actually not just the photography world, just the world in general, unfortunately. People don't like to pick up the phone. You know, one of my biggest clients, Forbes magazine, I got because I picked up the phone now a year and a half ago. And it's funny because we had a 10-minute conversation about just that fact. She literally said, when I picked up the phone, she goes, oh my God, thank you for picking up the phone.
Like she was surprised.
Like, really? I was like, you know, somebody's calling me for business. Heck yeah, I'm picking up the phone. Like, it doesn't matter if, you know, of course our phones unfortunately ring way too many times now with the robocalls and whatnot, but I pick up every call I can pick up at the time. So yeah, so Forbes turned into, hey, I have a need, you know, to photograph this event. And then that turned into 15 events the following year. For me, literally just picking up the phone. So two big things that I tell people, it's like, first of all, pick up the phone. And then second of all, is return emails in a timely manner. I don't know how many times people have responded and said, oh my God, thanks so much for the quick response. Like that is all over my email inbox. It's, you know, what is that PA? What is that assistant? What is that head of marketing trying to do when they send out an email to a photographer? They just want to get one more thing off their plate, you know? If you can answer that quickly and give them all the information on that first email, yes, I'm available. Here's my rate. Or if you have any questions, you know, here's my rate. Or, you know, give them some other examples, you know, trying to put all that information on that first piece of conversation. Or even better, pick up the phone. you know, get that one-on-one. If they haven't told you everything on that first email, I usually pick up the phone and go, "Hey, Mary, thanks again for the email. I want to give you a quick quote. I know, you know, you're looking to hire a photographer. I just have a couple questions before I'm able to send that to you." And you're going to learn so much more than what they wrote down on the email. You're going to learn, you know, all the issues that they might be having, or what the venue is going to be, or, you know, what is the end time, which is a lot of times what they forget to tell you, or how the images might be used. So you can refer them to, you know, recommendations for other vendors also, and become a resource to them versus just another photographer. Something I also talk about, it's like, just be a resource. You know, how can you help them?
I love that approach. Just let me take you back to the phone ringing. I don't know in the States. So in Australia, if I get a call on my mobile, someone can have their number listed. So I might not have ever heard from that person, but I can see their number come up on my screen. Sometimes it'll come up as no caller ID and I've got no idea. I generally avoid those calls and I wait for it to go to voicemail. Is it the same in the States?
Yeah, you get those with no caller ID sometimes. I mean, you typically still get the area code, so not many of those blocked calls. I still pick up every call.
Wow. Okay.
I just do. I mean, I don't get that many phone calls, but yeah, I just pick up the call because you never know when there's, you know, that 50,000 to, you know, plus, you know, client that you can get. So that's,
yeah, makes sense.
It
makes
my strategy.
Are you then answering emails on your phone as well, or are you waiting to get to the office to do those sort of those replies?
So with the reply, what I try to do, I don't try to get too specific on, if I'm on the road and I see that email come through, that's the perfect time to just call them. It's like, "Hey, I just saw your email. I just wanted a quick connect. I am traveling, but I wanted to kind of answer any questions you might have right now. And then I can quickly email a quote when I get back to the studio." So that's kind of, you know, how I try to do it.
Got it. And is operating in your world just like the wedding and portrait photography world that you were a part of originally? Is that initial call, does it always involve, what are your rates? How much does it cost?
Oh yeah. You know, first thing is, one, are you available? Two, what are your rates? And I think that's most of it.
It's true, rates. Isn't it?
I mean, it's like, what else do they need? Like, that's all they need to know, right? Are you available? Well, how much?
You know? Exactly.
Because, you know, if think of it from the assistant's point of view, right? She's got a piece of paper in front of her. She's got a list. She's got a venue, photographer, florist, audio, video. You know, she's just got a myriad of things she has to do. And she just needs to know, is this person available? How much is it going to cost me? Let me move on.
That's right. And the interesting thing is, like, having done so many of these interviews, I hear lots of different advice from different photographers. And a lot of photographers say, well, you can't give a price until you know a little bit more about what the person wants. Other interview guests will say, look, just give the price and then discuss, you know, what it involves and what the client gets. So for you, does it always come down to a number?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's very straightforward. Okay, I need a photographer for 3 hours and that's it. You know, so like that's most of the emails, like, oh, I need a photographer from 7 to 10, you know, on this date at this venue. One thing I'll mention though is, you know, the beauty of using a great CRM. Like, I use Tave as my CRM. And one of the recent things that happened was I started adding all the things that, all the add-ons that people don't think about telling the client. If you're just having a quick conversation, you're not going to talk to them about, hey, I need social media selects the same day. Hey, I need all the photos delivered the next day. Hey, I need printed images for this specific purpose. Hey, I need a thumb drive for this. Or hey, you know, whatever that additional service that your studio might provide, a lot of times you don't have the time to discuss that during that initial phone conversation or the email. So what my CRM, Tave, has amazingly, you know, increased my income is there's a section where you can create in the contract where they, or excuse me, the quote, they can just add on additional items. So Tave actually literally has paid for itself on the first time I sent a quote, because the client added a $350, I need the photos the next day option that I, for, you know, hadn't mentioned or didn't know that that was something they needed. So that literally paid for the service for the year, or I forget how much it is. It's probably a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay. So you have a quick phone call with the PA. They want a photographer for 3 hours. You quote them on that. But then when you send the quote officially via email, then you have these little check boxes for these add-ons and they can just select whatever they want. I love that.
Exactly. And that's happened, you know, 3 or 4 times already. And it's just like, it's sort of free money.
It's so good. And it saves then. So do you try and remember those add-ons in that conversation, or you don't even bring them up? You don't need to at that time.
Sometimes. Yeah. A lot of times like, hey, do you need anything extra? Like, do you need those for social media? You know, a lot of my clients are repeat. So a lot of times, you know, they kind of don't necessarily ask for anything specific. And then it's mostly when I have like a new client that comes in that I forget to kind of have that conversation about like, hey, do you need the photos the next day? Or do you need social media photos like right after the event? So that's what happens. I just kind of get, you know, I forget to kind of bring that up. And it's a beautiful thing when the quote gets accepted and it comes back as higher than you sent it. And you're like, oh, wait, what happened? And you, you know, go back to the contract. Like, oh, I need to deliver those next day. Okay. Let me block my calendar off to make sure that that happens.
That is very cool. All right. I did ask you if you answer the calls yourself, Gustavo, but I didn't ask you, is there anyone else working in the business or is it all you?
It's mostly all me. I do have a VA service that I use to do a lot of the small minutia. I do have a bookkeeper also outsourced and of course an accountant that's outsourced also.
Okay. What does your VA do and where are they based?
It's called OK Relax. They're based, I think out of Utah, but I believe she is based out of the Philippines, the actual VA. So they just do small tasks like downloading, you know, backing up my files from Dropbox into my main SmugMug account, to downloading my monthly, you know, accounts from my Bank of America or American Express. Just a lot of small little items that, you know, take a little bit of time and then, you know, just kind of make me more efficient.
I like that. So you deal with OK Relax, but you actually have a particular VA that's based in the Philippines. So are you communicating with her one-to-one?
I am. Yeah, I just communicate through their portal.
Right. Okay. And then so you can train her, teach her, have her do all the different things that she can handle, and then it leaves you with those things off your plate.
Yeah. I've created a bunch of systems, basically. So, you know, that's one of the key things that, you know, as people start to, you know, grow in their businesses, figuring out how to do everything and then outsourcing the stuff that you don't need to do. You know, it might take, for example, to download my Bank of America into Excel and get it sorted so I can get that sent to the bookkeeper. You know, that takes probably 5 to 10 plus steps. So what I do is I just create a video, like a screenshot video of that and how to do that. And then I type that up and I have that, you know, I provide that to my VA. So, you know, they can get that done.
That's a beautiful thing. So if that VA ever does change over to a different VA or you lose her, then you've got those training videos there ready to go as well.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. My next step, I'd like to kind of get a full-time VA to do that because right now it's basically a part-time. So I'm working on creating all the systems for the business and, you know, to make sure that I can outsource all that information.
So do you see the business, I mean, I guess I was going to say, do you see it growing? Obviously you do because you're doing these other things. How do you see the business growing and expanding?
So yeah, the business is growing. I'm actually, you know, traveling right now in Florida and right now several events are being covered. So I have associate photographers that are capturing events for me back in San Francisco. So that's just sort of the natural way that the business is growing, where I will photograph the large, very important key events for JP Morgan, Forbes, or NASDAQ. And then I can send, you know, some associate photographers for some of those smaller, less important events, like an alumni event or a small, you know, get together for a law firm, those type of events.
Got it. Okay. Before we go down that rabbit hole, I just want to circle back to rates real quickly.
Sure.
Are you happy to share your rates?
Yeah. I mean, pretty simple. I just start at $400 an hour and it just kind of goes from there.
And that includes that shooting time and that includes the images that you shoot in that hour?
Yeah.
Cool.
I think it's just too confusing. I have friends that'll break it up into like, oh, here's my shooting rate. And then here's my editing rate. And then here's my, you know, delivery time rate. It's just like way too many numbers.
You know, I like
at the end of the day, it kind of averages out to about the same as 400.
That's so much easier to understand for whoever's hiring you as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Just try to keep it simple. It's just one number multiplied times the hours and then add on anything else on top of that.
Right. Okay. And are you flying around the country doing shoots as well? Or is it all mainly based in San Francisco?
I am. I was in Boston, I think 3 times this past year. I was in Anaheim this year for HPE. Boston, I was there for Forbes shooting the 30 Under 30 Summit. I was there twice for Battery Ventures. I do their headshots and they have an office in Boston. So all their new employees. I just did some headshots for a law firm here in Miami. So yes, I'm definitely traveling, but not significant.
Sure. So once a client's got you, they want you to cover whatever they got going on by the sound of it.
Exactly. So for example, like I got in with JP Morgan a few years ago and I was covering the annual healthcare summit in San Francisco. And now I cover their technology summit in Boston and one other event that they have in at Half Moon Bay, which is about an hour or so from San Francisco.
Very cool. Just quickly then, with the associate shooters, do you train them? Do you do some research and find that they're a good shooter and then you just hire them? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I basically try to find somebody that's got it mostly down. Like I would, you know, my goal is to not have to train them too much. So I look for a portfolio where they can, you know, they're nailing the images in camera. You know, they have a good, you know, great personality and, you know, they dress well and they're not the kind of hipster looking artist type person because, you know, unfortunately my clientele is not looking for that person wearing the skinny jeans and the blue hair, you know, and the tattoos. So I've set myself apart because, you know, I'm wearing a suit and I'm very professional at all my events. So that's the type of people that I try to recruit. From there, every time I get back an event from one of my associates, I'll do a screen share, you know, feedback video for them. And I'll go through the event and just give them feedback that way.
Right.
And go, hey, you missed this, missed that. Like, make sure you're, when you're shooting, you know, people not, you know, not shooting over their back, or, hey, make sure you're centering these images, or, you know, don't shoot towards the light, you know, just basic things that I can, you know, hopefully they can do a little bit better on next shoot.
So is the idea for them to have their images looking like yours?
Yeah, that's the goal. I just want to keep everything super consistent and, you know, a great client experience. You know, I'm harping on the whole hipster look, but, you know, the perfect example, Visa called me a couple of years ago and they said, hey, we just found out our photographer has blue hair. Like, are you available tomorrow? And so I was good. Like, yeah, of course I will be there. So, you know, that's the type of client I want to work with. That's the level of professionalism I want to work with. And, you know, that's kind of the niche that I'm going for. And I enjoyed a lot. I have a lot of fun and it's super cool because you're sitting in rooms with the CEOs of these big companies and learning from what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you must hear and see some amazing things. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
That is so good. Mate, that's a great spot to leave it, Gustavo. You've been absolutely amazing. You have a phenomenal business and it's easy to see why with what you're doing. And I just want to say thanks for coming on and sharing everything you have. Where is the best place for the listener to see more of your work and see more of what you're doing?
Yeah, Andrew, thanks again for having me. I mean, this has been an amazing interview. Yeah, just simple, just GustavoFernandez.com. And I think all my socials are linked from there. Not that I do too much social. We didn't get into that conversation, but something I need to ramp up here soon. And I'll send you a link for some of the top 10 tips for building that event photography business that your listeners can sign up for too.
Fantastic. All right. So I'll add a link in the show notes so the listener can grab that. And look, I didn't even ask you, like, it sounds like it's going great for you. Is it a good market to get into?
Actually, that's the whole reason for this discussion now that you asked that question, because I think it's an amazing market. It's an untouched market. It's not untouched because there's people shooting it. It's just not as sexy as weddings, right? It's just kind of, if you don't, you know, love corporate stuff, like I guess people won't enjoy it. But the number one thing, it's a consistent recurring income. What do I mean by that? It's like every year, like as a wedding photographer, I was like, you know, having to look for what, 20 to 30 to however many clients you need to pay the bills, brand new clients. For me now, every year I can look forward to a specific set amount of clients that are returning. Okay, I'm shooting 3 events for JP. I'm shooting 20 events for NASDAQ. I'm shooting, you know. So it's all about building that recurring business model. I don't typically shoot on the weekends anymore. So you have your weekends back. My friends are like, oh, you know, they didn't, you know, I had to start calling all my friends again and be like, hey, I'm here. Hi, guys. You know, please call me for going out and whatnot. But no, I think it's a very lucrative market if you do it right. You know, I'm making more and more money every year. And it's just simple. It's just a business transaction. Corporations need this service too. And you don't need that many clients at the end of the day as compared to what you would need with weddings.
For sure. Right. Last question for you then. Do you think of yourself as a photographer or a business person?
Ooh, You know, I would say business person. Why? Because when people ask me, it's like, oh, do you like to take photos like on your spare time? I'm like, nope.
So it's a job. It's a job.
It's a job. Because if I take a photo outside of business, it's like, I have to edit. I have to play with it. It's like, I don't want to be doing that. I'd rather be connecting with people and just kind of growing the business, my networking, and just, you know, helping people solve the problems.
Unreal. Gustavo, thanks, mate. You've been brilliant.
Awesome. Thanks again, Andrew. Take care.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Gustavo Fernandez as much as I did. Gustavo, if you're listening, mate, thank you so much for coming on and sharing everything you did. It was invaluable. I know the listener will get a ton from what you had to share. So again, mate, thank you so much. Looking forward to seeing the brand new website as well once it goes live. And thank you so much for putting that PDF together as well. For you, the listener, I hope you did get as much from Gustavo as I did. I just mentioned the PDF that he has created for you. It's the top 10 ways to develop your corporate event photography business. To download and access that PDF, head over to photobizx.com/Gustavo. That's G-U-S-T-A-V-O. So photobizx.com/Gustavo. And what I'll do is have a link to that in the show notes for today's episode. And you can find the show notes over at photobizx.com/317. In those show notes, I've got links to anything and everything that Gustavo mentioned. I'll have a link to the PDF that you can download as well. And as usual, there is a comments area at the bottom of the show notes. So if you have a follow-up question for Gustavo, if there's something that I didn't ask that you wish that I did, by all means, leave a comment there at the bottom of the show notes, and I'm sure that Gustavo will be happy to come back and answer those. And if you are a PhotoBizX premium member, Gustavo is already part of the membership. He's available to you inside the members Facebook group. So again, if you have a question, a follow-up comment, or you just want to say thanks for coming on the show, by all means, tag Gustavo in the group. And I know that he'll be happy to come back and reply there.
PhotoBizX.com. Real advice, real strategies, and real ideas to build your photography business.
Just before we jump into the shout outs for today's episode, don't forget, if you are looking to grab the special price for the 12-month membership, the premium membership for PhotoBizX, it's available for one more week only. So it finishes on the 30th of June, 2019. You can get 40% off the regular 12-month membership. And if you are an existing member paying $20 per month, you can save 50% on your current membership fees. Head over to photobizx.com/June special and get the 12-month membership for $120. And as a special bonus offer, nice gesture, whatever you want to call it, if you are an existing member paying $20 per month, sign up for the 12-month membership. And if you paid $20 in the month of June, let me know and I'll go back and credit that $20 you've already paid. I'll need to know your PayPal email address for that to happen. So just email me. It's andrew@photobizx.com. Let me know that you've signed up for the 12-month membership and your PayPal email address if you've paid $20 already this month, and I'll credit that back to you via PayPal. And if you are an existing member paying $20 per month, I have tried to email you, but I'm still getting lots of notifications from people that are paying $20 per month via PayPal. So if that's you, this is the best time to jump on and grab that special price where you can pay half what you're paying right now for exactly the same content. photobizx.com/June special if you want to make use of that. Now, if you are an existing member on the 12-month plan already, the $120 12-month plan, you don't need to do a thing. Your pricing for your plan will stay exactly as it is. It'll roll over automatically unless you cancel. So there's no need for you to do anything. This announcement really is for anyone that's an existing member paying $20 per month, or if you're listening to the free podcast episodes and you're not yet a member, now is the time to jump in and grab a membership. So you can hear the full interview every week, including today's episode with Gustavo, where he shared so much extra good stuff for premium members, and you get all the other goodness that goes with the premium membership. And you'll hear about some of those in the upcoming shout outs, which are coming to you now.
It's shout out time.
I've got two big shout outs for today's episode. And the first one goes to Missy Goldwyn from the United States. She is a boudoir photographer based in Walnut Creek. I love the sound of that place, Walnut Creek. What a cool place to live. Missy says that she stumbled across PhotoBizX about a month ago and immediately did the $1 trial. During that time, she was so impressed, she called her fellow photographer friend Hector and told him about it. They both signed up and joined the 12-month membership at the special price. And Missy says, it has truly changed my business. I like to listen while I drive, and I now have to keep a pencil and paper in my car because I get so many ideas from every podcast I've listened to. She's contacted Kylie Garner, who was a previous interview guest, after hearing her podcast about marketing. She signed up with her and she's already seeing positive results. She says that PhotoBizX has truly changed my business. I will keep recommending it to all my photographer friends, and I now look forward to getting in the car so I can listen to PhotoBizX. Missy, that is awesome. And I got to say, I had a quick look at your website too. I love the layout and design of your website. Your photography is beautiful, and I'm looking forward to hearing how you progress with your business over the coming years. The second big shout out goes to Lewis Fackrell from the United Kingdom. He is based in South Wales, I think around Cardiff, if I'm correct, and he's a wedding photographer. So there's a good chance that he might even know Owen Mateus, a previous interview guest and a friend of mine who I met up with while visiting Cardiff last year. Anyway, Lewis goes on to say, I was introduced to this podcast channel by a local wedding photographer competitor friend. I love that, competitor friend. Initially, I was a little apprehensive about subscribing, but once I began exploring and listening to the podcast, I then signed up for a yearly subscription. I've now listened to over 20 podcasts and I've implemented some fantastic advice, tricks, and developed my marketing strategy further. Without doubt, one of my finest business investments. Plus, it counts as education, learning while editing or traveling, which is ideal. So that is awesome. Thank you so much, Lewis, and to Missy for taking the time to leave your ratings and reviews in iTunes. If you're listening to the podcast and you haven't left a review in iTunes like Lewis and Missy have, and you enjoy the podcast, or if you have some feedback for other people who don't yet listen to the podcast, leave an honest rating and review in iTunes. And what I'll do in return, in addition to the shout out, is add a link back to your website using the keyword phrase or anchor text that you're looking to rank for to help with your SEO. And you can see I've done exactly that for both Missy and Lewis in today's episode show notes. And the idea of that is to help them with their SEO, help them rank more highly for the search terms they're looking to rank for inside Google. So if you want to do the same, feel free to leave an honest rating and review in iTunes, or you can leave one on the PhotoBizX Facebook page, inside Stitcher Radio, inside Overcast. You know, wherever you listen or access the podcast, leave an honest rating and review. Let me know about it. Let me know the URL that you're looking to rank for and the keyword phrase that you'd like me to use as the anchor text. And I'll be happy to do those things for you to help with your SEO. It's just a little way for me to say thanks for taking the time for leaving those ratings and reviews. Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the podcast. I hope you have a fantastic week. Don't forget the June special for the 12-month membership finishes at the end of this week. Head to photobizx.com/June special if you want to make use of that one. Otherwise, stay well, be good, have a fantastic week, and I'll chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.